Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath to all of you. Hard to believe this is the last Sabbath before Thanksgiving. I don't know where 2011 is gone, but it seems like as time goes by, it goes by faster and faster as we live. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to any visitors that we have here. Welcome to the Houston congregation. Brethren, how many of us have found ourselves saying at one time or another, can't you do that any faster? What is taking you so long? Why do I have to tell you again and again what I have told you before? Why can't that man find the accelerator pedal in his car? That's mine. Do we find ourselves becoming more and more impatient with others? You know, we live in a very, very stress-filled life, in a very stress-filled world, more so today than probably any time else in history. We all live our lives by the clock. We all have deadlines to make, appointments to get to, tasks to complete. And as the saying goes, the more hurrier up I get, the behinder I seem to get. Patience is a virtue that is sorely missing in the world today. Everyone has heard songs written about love. And although you've never heard, you'll probably never hear a song written about patience. Many sayings through the centuries have been made about this virtue of patience, such as, a handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains. It's an old Dutch proverb. How can a society that exists on instant mashed potatoes, packaged cake mixes, frozen dinners, and instant cameras teach patience to its young? By Paul Sweeney. This one by an unknown author. Patience is the ability to count down before you blast off. Genius is nothing but a great aptitude for patience, by Georges-Louis de Buffon. Adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Patience is the companion of wisdom, by St. Augustine. Patience is also a form of action, by Auguste Rodin. And my two favorites. Patience is something you admire in the driver behind you and scorn in the one ahead, by Mac McCleary. And my all-time favorite, you can learn many things from children. For instance, how much patience you have, by Franklin P. Jones. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines patience as the capacity, habit, or fact of bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance unto the provocation or under provocation or strain. Brethren, today in my sermon entitled Patience, I want to explore this virtue of patience and discuss four points concerning this Christ-like and Christian attribute. Point number one, patience requires waiting for future reward or relief. Patience requires waiting for future reward or relief. Who likes to wait? No one likes to wait. The world is becoming more and more impatient with each generation. With the huge technological advances during the past decades, our attention spans have shortened considerably. The Wall Street Journal reported in 2005 how our shortening attention spans have actually shortened the length of standard commercials on TV. When television advertisements began in the 1940s and 1950s, the 60-second commercial was the standard commercial. By 1971, it had actually dropped to a 30-minute commercial. And by the late 1980s, it had actually dropped to 15 seconds. And in 2005, Cadillac actually came out with a 5-second commercial. What does this mean? Everything is becoming more and more immediate. And we can find ourselves demanding immediacy in more aspects of our lives and in more and more situations that we're involved in. We have become used to multitasking and have developed very short attention spans. This in turn gives us the proclivity to be more impatient with others when others don't do something quite quickly enough or say something quite quickly enough. We need to learn to wait. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we'll read in verse 14. It says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In Proverbs 20, and verse 21. Proverbs 20. And in verse 21. We read, "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Do not say, 'I will recompense evil,' but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you." And one of my favorite verses in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Many choirs in the past have sung this, the special music taken from this verse. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What exactly does it mean to wait on God? The word "wait" in the Hebrew is kaval. Q-A-V-A-H. And it means to expect patiently, or to look patiently, or to wait patiently. Waiting on God entails having the patience to seek God's will and to allow God to work out circumstances and problems in His way and in His time. The opposite of waiting on God is hastily and impatiently taking things in our own hands and forcing a conclusion to a matter, often prematurely, and often with less than ideal results. Brethren, life is not a sprint. Life is a race. It is a long, long marathon, which requires endurance and it requires patience. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, and we'll read about this race. Hebrews 12, Paul talks about this race and about patience. In Hebrews 12, and in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Brethren, we are all in this race, and we're in this race together, although in one sense we do race alone. Our reward, the reason for the race, is still in our future. How patient are we in this race? Are we helping others continue in their pace, encouraging them to keep going? Or do we sometimes find ourselves tripping up one another in each other's race? In James 5, if you'll turn with me to James, and in the 5th chapter, just a few pages over, James 5 and verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. And behold, the judge stands before the door. Are we patient unto the future coming of Christ to this earth? What happens, brethren, if we lose focus? If we lose patience with one another? If we lose hope in Christ's return? Christ warns us about this in Matthew 24. If you'll turn with me back to Matthew 24. And in verse 45, Matthew 24 and verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These people lost patience. They lost focus, and they got tired of waiting. They gave up and turned against God, and they turned against God's people. So, brethren, patience requires waiting for a future reward or for future relief that we don't have now. Point number two, the lack of patience leads to anger and to bad consequences. The lack of patience leads to anger and to bad consequences. You know, impatience and anger go hand in hand. Most angry people are angry as a result of impatience of some sort. Very little anger in the world today is righteous anger or righteous indignation, such as the anger described by Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:26, where he said, "Be angry and sin not." The anger from impatience isn't that type of anger. How many examples in other people's lives, and maybe in our own lives, can we see where a moment of impatience leads to anger, which then leads to an end that has an undesired result? Maybe it resulted in the loss of a job. Someone mouthed off to the boss, and next thing you know, he didn't have patience. Got mad and he lost his job. Maybe a traffic ticket. Got impatient, got going too fast, got a traffic ticket. Maybe into an accident. Maybe hurt feelings with a close friend. Maybe an absolute personal embarrassment. A well-known Chinese proverb says, "One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life." A lack of patience and its subsequent anger affected greatly the life of Aaron and of Moses. Turn with me to Numbers 20. We'll read about a significant event in Moses and Aaron's life. Numbers 20, and starting in verse 1. "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spoke, saying, 'Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord! And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink.' And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so you shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Now, let's read what happens next. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. He was mad. He had had enough. He had lost patience with Israel, and he got mad, and he didn't do what God had asked him to do. In verse 12, And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given unto them. You know, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness with the backbiting, ungrateful, mouthy, complaining Israelites, Moses and Aaron were not able to enter the promised land that they had dreamed of for many years because of a momentary lapse of impatience and of anger. The price they paid for that was great. In our own lives, have we lost out on things because of momentary impatience and of anger? Brethren, let's avoid impatience and its subsequent anger in our lives, or we too will pay a price. Point number three, patience is learned over time by enduring hardships. Patience is learned over time by enduring hardships. Brethren, have you ever heard the prayer, God, please give me patience and give it to me right now? You know, it's easy to be patient in the good times. When everything is going great, the little things don't really bother us. And the good times, it's easy to have patience. We can have patience even when little problems come along, even when big problems come along, because we're happy. Things are going great. Nothing can seem to get us down. Yet in the bad times, and in the absolute frustrating times, and the stressful times when we're facing huge obstacles or we're facing huge trials in our life, when we're slighted by someone, something bad happens to us from someone, do we lose patience? I found it's important to be careful what you pray for. It was last weekend when I decided to have patience as my topic. I asked God for guidance and the help and His help in preparing my sermon. And then, you know, Sunday night, I started feeling sick. I started feeling pretty miserable with total blocked up sinuses and all. Felt terrible on Monday. I felt terrible on Tuesday, Wednesday. Went to work anyway. Wish I hadn't gone to work. So because when I went to work, everything went wrong at work. It was just a really tough first part of the week. Everything went absolutely wrong. It went wrong at the office. It went wrong in traffic. It went wrong at home. It just went wrong everywhere. Well, guess what? I found myself in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a big battle of patience. And to be honest, I won some and I lost some. I know I have to improve. We all need to improve. Maybe we are in the midst of a great trial right now. Maybe we have been totally wronged by someone. Maybe we feel that we're nearing our wits' end. Are we still patient with others and with our circumstances? Now, Paul addresses this in his admonition to the Romans. to the Roman brethren in Romans 5. If you'll turn there, please. To Romans 5. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to learn patience. Romans 5, and starting in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Again in verse 3 we read, tribulation works patience. In Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 32, we read, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had companion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after which you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Paul continues this theme in his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 10. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. It reads so much better, and I really like how the New Living Translation translates this same set of verses. The New Living Translation says, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach, and how I live, and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. And you know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from it all. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Peter also admonished the church to be patient, even when suffering wrongly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter admonishes the church, for what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and you suffer for it, then you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. So from these scriptures, brethren, we can see that tribulation and patience are inextricably linked hand in hand. They go hand in hand. The two together are the building blocks of our hope and our faith in God. Brethren, patience is learned over time and by enduring hardships. And point number 4, learn from Christ's examples of patience. Learn from Christ's examples of patience. You know, patience is a virtue that God possesses. Patience can be equated to the fruit of God's Spirit, God's very essence. Turn with me to Galatians 5, verse 22. We all know this verse very, very well. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." The word long-suffering in this verse is the Greek word makrothumia, M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. And makrothumia means patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. So patience is a fruit of God's Spirit. God is indeed a patient God, and Christ set an example for us in every aspect of His life for us to follow. An example of His patience and restraint came on the last night of His life, during and after the Last Supper. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. You know, Christ was sorrowful. He knew what fate awaited Him in the coming hours. The whole plan of salvation was at stake at what happened in the coming hours. He literally had the weight of the entire world on His shoulders. Now that's what I call stress. So Christ was very stressed at that time. In Luke 22 and verse 19, He was with the disciples at the Last Supper. "And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you. And behold, the hand of Him who betrays Me is with Me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom He is betrayed.' And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." Now, this is a story we all know by heart. But what follows next? Verse 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." So here's Christ getting ready to die for mankind and for His disciples that are around Him. Having washed their feet, having instituted the service of breaking of the bread, and a drinking of the wine at the Passover, preparing Himself for a tortuous death, and the disciples are sitting there arguing over which one of them should be accounted the greatest. What an irony. What dichotomy there is there. What thoughts must have run through Christ's mind when He saw that? But what did Christ do? In all that stress, and all that sorrow that He was experiencing then, did He lash out at the disciples, berating them for their total lack of appreciation of what He was getting ready to do? What would you have done? Instead of lashing out, Christ used their selfish preoccupation with themselves as a moment to teach a valuable lesson, and to give each one of them hope. Let's continue in verse 25. "And He said unto them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he who sits at meat or he who serves? Is not he who sits at meat, but I am among you as he who serves. You are they who have continued with Me in My temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, would any of us answered in this way? You know, Christ answered them with hope, and he answered them with encouragement. He didn't answer them with anger. Another example of Christ's patience came a little later that night. In Matthew 26, we turn back to Matthew 26, and starting in verse 36, right after this, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then comes Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and says unto the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then says he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me." The word "watch" here means to stay awake, be vigilant. So he wanted people to be there with him. Christ was sorrowful, and he wanted them, these three disciples, to stay up with him, as part comfort. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40, "And he comes unto the disciples and finds them asleep, and says unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done. And he came back and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he comes to his disciples and says unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me." You know, although Christ was probably disappointed, very disappointed, that his three main disciples could not stay awake and pray with him during these very agonizing last hours of his life, Christ did not lash out at them. After 3.5 years of witnessing their lack of faith, their frailties, and their spiritual immaturity, Christ was still patient with them. He never lost patience with them. Would we have been so patient with our life on the line? Let's drop down to verse 50, Matthew 26 and verse 50. "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore are you come?" See, the people had come, all the Judas and the others had come to take Christ away. "And they came and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And Jesus said unto him, Put up your sword again into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you not think I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Again, Christ showed great patience and restraint. He had the patience to endure what he was getting ready to endure, even though he knew he could have asked God to intervene. He could have called upon divine protection from God, but he didn't. He showed patience and faith to wait on God, knowing that this was God's will. Turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9, Paul wrote, "What if God willing to show his wrath," verse 22, "what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." Again, this verse reads so much better in the New Living Translation that I had. Romans 9:22 in that translation reads, "In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who were made for destruction. He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory." And then in Romans 15, just a few pages over, Romans 15, again, starting in verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me.' For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and of consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Brethren, we worship a wonderful God. We worship a very patient God. And let's learn from God's examples of patience, and let's mimic that patience in our own lives. Brethren, the world we live in does not exhibit godly patience. The world is impatient. It is angry. The news is filled with stories of tragedies every day, spurred on by uncontrolled anger stemming from impatience at others. Whether it be road rage, whether it be domestic violence, or whether it be murder and violence after heated verbal exchanges between people. We as God's people are not to be like the world. Let's remember that patience requires waiting for future reward or relief. Let's remember that the lack of patience leads to anger and leads to bad consequences. Let's remember that patience is learned over time by enduring hardship. And let's remember to learn from God's examples of patience found in the Bible. As a final scripture, please turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we will read an exhortation from the Apostle Paul. So let's learn to have more patience with one another, even in the bad times, especially among the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, a very important exhortation. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men."